You are listening to a True Gospel Perspective from our Macedonia Baptist Church ministerial staff. We pray that this message will be a true blessing to you.
Praising God for his leadership and his blessing to the Register family. We love him. We're truly grateful to him for blessing me with this privilege and opportunity to stand and embrace the pulpit. Upon doing so, relying on my technology, I just had a little glitch. But nevertheless, God is still able. And there is a word from the Lord. We invite your attention to Ephesians, the second chapter. And as you get there, I want to borrow just for a minute to read one scripture from that second chapter. From this particular book, one verse, the 10th verse. I encourage you to read this entire book, and especially chapters 1 and 2, for the compendium, the essence, the key verse is this 10th verse of this entire book. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. Yes, yes. And it's amazing that the choir sung the song that they sung, that last song. We all are a part of God's body. So when you read this particular chapter, we find our theme, the handiwork of God. The handiwork, yes, yes. I encourage you to pay close attention to that particular verse. For we are his workmanship. And the key is created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Yes, yes. Good works. God bless. Listen, the theme of Ephesians, yes, by Paul was to denote the truth that salvation is by faith and faith alone. Yes. Paul emphasizes that all believers are united in Christ. And the church is one body with Christ as his head. No. I struggle when you see these certain billboard signs and the churches that are supposed to be or allegedly found by these apostles and great leaders. But there's only one head of the church. And it's Christ Jesus, yeah. It's his church. And Paul denotes in this particular book, God reconciled sinners, yes, sinful people, yes, to himself. And this reconciliation with God has its effect on earth. People who were sinners and divided are now reconciled to God. and each other. Yes, yes. Not just to God, but to each other. If you are reconciled by God, it's impossible for you to be alienated from your brother, from your neighbor, from humanity. Watch out, Reverend Register. Go ahead. Listen what it says. And each other, how? Through Christ. By the handiwork of God. Yeah. By God's supremacy, God's sovereignty, and God's perfection. Oh, the handiwork of God. The essence of God is manifested in his creation of the heavens and the earth and all of humanity. This text denotes the two creations of humanity by God. Paul points out the first man failed, yes, and the second is perfected and cannot fail. You find that in Ephesians, the second chapter, read through it, and I love that fourth verse. Yes, when you look at that particular verse, and we were created in him, but God had compassion on us while we were yet sinners. Yet he blessed us into the body of Christ through his grace. Paul shows us, get this now, the paradoxes concerning life. Life and death, the contrasts. Life and death, unrighteousness and righteousness. Mortality and immortality. Imperfection and perfection. He highlights the conflicts or the inconsistencies of life experiences. Yes. The first man, Adam, under the law failed. And we all suffer the consequences of similar experiences. You see in this that the law is the catalyst of God's mercy and grace. Therefore, listen, it is the precipitation caused by the law. Well, let me invite your attention to Romans, the third chapter, and the 20th verse, which confirms this for no one can ever be made. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. For no one can ever be made right with God by doing what the law commands. The law simply shows us how sinful we are. Oh, yeah. The law points out our sin and places the responsibility directly on our shoulders. I have problems with a person say to me, the devil made me do it. Well, you better look again. Satan only has as much power as God allows him. But he does not have any power over the saints. Watch out, Reverend Register. Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for the handiwork in the lives of Christians. Whatever we do it by choice. Yes, we do. We do it by choice. Watch out, Reverend Register. Go. Listen, if you will. It's directly on our shoulders. But the law offers no remedy. Listen, if you will. In life, there are many crossroads. And we cannot avoid them. I often describe this metaphor. Yes, this this example, this figurative expression by referencing life journey as a highway. You're traveling from here to Florida. It's pretty simple, isn't it? Jump on 75 and keep driving. Take you straight to Florida. However, on the journey, you will encounter crossroads, intersections. And at those intersections, sometimes you will see a light flashing, warning you that you approach the intersection. And sometimes along the way, there's constructions and detours that take you off your main route. That's the way life is on this life journey. There are many crossroads. There are many intersections. There are sometimes detours in our journey. But thank God the road never changed. The destination remains the same. And how we get there makes a difference. Listen, it's just Seth sharing with us that it's important for us to understand we are confronted with decisions and consequences every day. And it is the consequences that matters most. Why, Reverend Register? Because we must live with the results. I have discovered that decisions in life are critical, and the results are crucial in determining one's future. How long we might live, yes, is determined by the decisions we make. And God's providence and sovereignty makes a difference. The condition of our living is determined by the same principles established with Adam. Yes, yes it is. In fact, where we might spend eternity and the state of our souls is also determined by our decisions and God's sovereignty. Now, what is the law's purpose? You say tell you, right? Yes, sir. To direct us to Jesus. The New Living Translation helps us to understand that in Matthew 5:17. I love this scripture. Listen at Jesus in his discourse with the Jews, the Pharisees, and his disciples. He says, don't misunderstand. I'm reading from the New Living Translation now. Don't misunderstand why I have come. I did not come to abolish the law. No. I didn't come to abolish the law of Moses or the writing of the prophets. No, I came to accomplish their purpose. And listen, at Romans, at Paul, I love Paul, I love Romans. He confirms this dialogue in Romans, the 8th chapter, verses 1 through 3, still reading here from, so now there is now no condemnation to those who belong to Christ Jesus. And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death. Now listen to what it says about the law. The law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. Now You read that from the King James Version, it will say, because the law was weak. But it's not that the law was weak, but we were weak in our observance of the law within our carnal selves, in our sinful nature. You can try all day long. But if you have, wow, watch out, Reverend, if you have an addiction, oh, we have all kinds of addictions, I tell you. If you have an addiction, you can mean it today. You can come and stand before the throne of God, at the altar of God. Confess your sins. And tonight, yeah, that addiction start talking to you. Oh, yeah, I'm right about it. I know I'm right about it. I've been there. Thank you, Jesus. I've experienced it. For myself, I tried, but I had to lay down some things, and I stretched out before God. Help me, Lord, to stand. Watch out, preacher. Woo, thank you, Jesus. Yes, the law of Moses was unable to save us because of the weakness of our sinful nature. So God did what the law could not do. He sent his own son in a body like the bodies we sinners have. And in that body, God declared an end to sin's control over us by giving his son as a sacrifice for our sins. Thank you, Jesus. Therefore, we need a healthy relationship with God. We need his counsel and the guidance of his Holy Spirit. We need God's transforming power, changing the intrinsic nature of our souls. Yes, from unrighteousness to righteousness. Being transformed unto the likeness of Christ. Philippians 2 and 5. Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. As believers, our nature must be regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit. There, New King James Version, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. Therefore, if any man or anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. As believers, we look at the world through the eyes of faith. Yes, we do. That is the handiwork of God. Trusting that God is able to sustain us. God is able to keep us. God, I tell you, is able to help us in this life's journey. Hebrews 11 and 6 from the King James Version says to us, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. The problem comes, are you committed? Are you faithful? Are you diligent in your efforts to rely on God to help and sustain us and to keep us on this life journey? Or are you one of those, as the pastor denotes, cafeteria Christians? You pick and choose from the word of God what you like. Watch out, Room Register. Go ahead. Listen. From the beginning of creation, mankind has failed
to make wise decisions by choosing not to obey God. Therefore, we can clearly see the old condition of the first man, Adam, dead to God, and the new condition of the regenerated man, alive in God. You get that? Watch that preposition, in God. So we see in our text scripture 2:10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God has before ordained that we should walk in them. We should live in them. I encourage you to look at God's masterpiece in this text, transforming corrupt humanity into spiritual righteousness. Yes, I'd like to echo the sentiments of Dr. Isaac Watts, Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Yes, I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now, thank God, I see. Yes, through my converted eyes, watch out, Reverend Register, I feel a lot better. Thank you, Jesus. I see here through this theological aspect of God's magnificent and immaculate creation and concept, a spiritual metamorphosis, the righteousness of God transforming and redeeming us who were sinners. Yes, and he does it through Christ Jesus. Through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, God reconciles sinful man. Yes, yes, believers to himself. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. What a great masterpiece composed by God, I tell you. Yes, you see, nature itself speaks eloquently of the master creation from the intrinsic design of human cells to the majestic Rocky Mountains. Look at the masterpiece of God, if you will, testifying of God's wisdom and power, even God's invisible attributes, his eternal power and Godhead. His divine nature is clearly seen, yes, by contemplating his awesome handiwork in all of creation. I invite your attention again to the book of Psalms, reading from the New King James Version. Listen to what it says. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament shows his handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night reveals knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their lines has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them has he set a tabernacle for the sun. Just as all creation is his handiwork, Christ is the masterpiece. Yes, the perfect revelation of the Lord is declared in Jesus Christ. Isaiah 9:6-7 For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be upon his shoulder, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor. That is the Divine Counselor, Mighty God. That is the Powerful Warrior, Everlasting Father. That is the King and Father who provides, Prince of Peace. The climactic title of the increases of his government and peace. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. There will be no end upon the throne of David and over his kingdom, I tell you, to order it and establish it with judgment and justice from that time forward and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this, God's masterpiece. Paul declares he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things are created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominion or principalities or power. All things were created by him and through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. I'm talking about God's masterpiece. And he is the head of the body, that is the church, who is in the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have preeminence. Thank you, Jesus. Look at God in his masterpiece, clothing his divine nature with mortality. John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. Jesus is the variable plethora of divine truth, life, love. He is the genuinely abundance of life, love, and infallible truth. He is the paragon of virtue, the model of excellence that the church strives for. He left his home in glory, traveled down 42 generations, came into Bethlehem of Judea, stopped off at Tabernacle for 33 long years. Oh, glory to the Lamb of God. But he didn't stop there. He opened blinding eyes. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. But thank God, that's not the end of the story. Look at Jesus surrender to the mob crowd. They took him and march him from judgment hall to judgment hall all night long. Early in the morning, they march him up the hill to Calvary, I tell you. And on Calvary, I tell you, on Calvary, Jesus hung there, bled and died. Oh, glory to God. He died, I tell you, but he didn't stay there. On the third day morning, early, he rose.
Please stand.
We hope you enjoyed this message today, and we pray that it was a true blessing to you. If you are interested in learning more about Pastor Charles D. Twyman, and the Macedonia Baptist Church family. You can reach out to us at www.mbcdet.com. Thank you, and God bless you.